Hello, Doug. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Marv. How are you doing, brother?
Not too bad. Thanks for giving me the opportunity today to interview you. So let's start this interview. The Dead Daisies have been around since 2012. Some people refer to the group as a supergroup. What do you think makes this band work as others have not?
It's not necessarily like we don't think of anything as a super group or whatever. It's a band that started off, like you said, about 10 or 12 years ago. And it was David Lowy and John Stevens. And they wrote some songs with Slash, and it kind of just evolved into a thing that was an open door for musicians. After a few sets of people came and went, whatever. And that's how David set it up too. He set it up so people could do what they want, come jam, play, write, tour, and then they go off and do their own thing. And that's basically what's happened. But every time you start to get a lineup going, you get, you know, it starts to become like, that's the lineup, that's the band. And then if there's a change or whatever, it becomes news. But originally that's how he started it off. But I think of it as, you know, playing with friends that, you know, I don't really think of it too much more than a band playing with friends that I've known for years.
Right.
And some of the guys I like Michael Devin, I met when we were in Whitesnake. John Karabi and I have been friends since school. I knew John, wow, you know, back in the 70s, you know. I've been doing this thing since 2016. It's been a lot of fun creating music with Karabi, and then later with Glenn. Now we got Karabi back.
Right, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So you're on here today to talk about the new single that's, I'm not sure if it's out already or the video's out for it, but it's called I'm Gonna Ride. And yeah, I've listened to it. The song has a very rock and edge to it, essentially a good old rock and roll song. Can you tell me what the song means to you?
It's you know, a straight up simple fun tune to, you know, to ride to drive to go to the gym. That's basically what this album is, kind of just to pick people up, you know, kick them in the ass, have some fun, something to listen to when you're riding on the train or the bus, whatever you're doing. And like I say, it's good workout music, takes your mind off things. Karabi did a great job with the lyrics, and the songs are really cool. And the single, this is actually the second single.
Right.
And it basically, you know, I mean, I can't read too deep into it because that's more for what somebody else should do, but okay, it's just a fun song. It's basically a kind of a song that you want to play live, and something that for somebody like me, a song like that is good for motivation. You know, it's a good song to get jacked up and be like, man, I gotta get rid of this gut. I gotta go to the gym. I gotta, like,
you know, I'll definitely be listening to it on the treadmill, because I need to lose a few pounds here. So,
hey man, we all do.
Motivation for me now.
I'm trying to bulk up. I'm trying to move this from here back up to here.
You can have my gut any day. No problem. So the album is called Light 'Em Up, and it's being released on September the 6th.
Yeah.
And I heard that pre-orders of the album are making it number one in the UK already in the hard rock category. So congrats on that. It seems like the fans over there are really enthusiastic about the album. And also, nice. The album kicks off, it looks like, that same day, September 6th. Do you have any songs that you have from the album that you're going to put in towards the set list at all? Or?
Oh, totally. Yeah. We actually were doing some shows earlier this summer, actually about a month ago or so. We were playing in the U.S. and we did actually four or five, I can't remember, but definitely four songs off the album. And people didn't know those songs. I think the only song that people knew was Light 'Em Up, which had been just released. And so that song was going over great. We added I'm gonna ride. We added I wanna be a bitch. These are, you know, songs people will hear when it comes out later next month or beginning of next month. But absolutely, we're gonna be playing this stuff live. Can't stress it enough that it's good for, you know, for a live performance, this stuff.
Awesome. Can you tell me who produced the album?
Yeah, Marty Fredrickson, who we've worked with in the past. We worked with Marty on Make Some Noise, the first record that I was a part of. And we worked on Burn It Down with Marty as well. And so we had been working hard for those two albums. We did a couple of live records, some different stuff, and we were touring. And that's when John split for a break. And we ended up carrying on with Glenn for a couple of years, but during the pandemic and whatnot. But John came back last year. And with John coming back, we wanted to record a song. One song turned into a bunch of songs. And John suggested that we get Marty back, you know, to get that sound back. So Marty produced the record. Marty's super talented. He works great with John on the melodies and lyrics. And he's, you know, it's great because we wanted to work fast. We didn't want to spend a bunch of time on this song that we were going to do, which is actually I'm going to ride was the song we were going to do, like put out one song. But it just turned into a whole album. And Marty was a big part of that because we didn't want to, you know, spend too much time just beating ourselves up over songs and whatnot. We just wanted to have fun and write and see what we got. And that's what we did. He set up an environment for us where we could be creative. And it was really inspiring, you know, so, and working with him, it's great, man. Like I would bring him an idea and he would just change it, take it and go, oh, well that we should do something, make that be the big hook chorus of the song. And I'm like, how are you going to do that? And he would say, play it. And then he'd sing something over it and be like, wow, that's cool.
Well, it's so good to get somebody else's opinion or something.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice, especially when you trust the producer and you go, look, he's the boss. I'm going to let him make the last call. It's nice. You know, it takes the pressure off.
So is this like a straight up rock and roll album? Is there any ballads on the album or is it just basically for the rock and roll in your face?
There is a ballad on the album. There's a kind of a power ballad. We do it. Originally, it was a song that John brought, A Love That Will Never Be. Love That Will Never Be is called. And he brought it in. It was kind of acoustic with strings and kind of had a country vibe a little bit to it. And we kind of played it and rewrote anything. We didn't rewrite anything, but we basically just rearranged it and approached it a little bit more from a Dead Daisies rock band perspective as opposed to a country ballad. And it turned out incredible. It's a really good song. I think my wife really, really thinks it's super strong and it's kind of got a flavor of like Bad Company or something, the way that we did it. And then there's, you know, let's get back to your question. There is a power ballad, but there's also probably 60 to 70% of the record is straight up kick-ass rock and roll. No frills, not trying to reinvent anything. Mm-hmm. We just want to make some good rock and music that's fresh, something different. And that's what, like I said, over half of the record is like that. But then there are that power ballad. There's a couple of twists and turns where we did lyrically or musically some things that we've never done before. There's one song that is kind of like a keystone. It's not a single by any stretch, but it's like a keystone track that's really important. It's called Take My Soul. Okay. And it just kind of balances out the record and takes you on a journey long enough to where when you come back, you want to kick ass again.
Right. You know?
But the story of that song was interesting because when one of the things that Marty wanted to do to inspire us and get us in the zone was just to take us out of our normal, you know, this is my home studio here. I'm comfortable here. I write here all the time. But he wanted us to get together and write in some different locations. And one of the places was Muscle Shoals, Alabama, where Fame Studios is. And there's a documentary about Fame Studios, but the song Take My Soul was written in Fame Studios after talking stories of Wilson Pickett and Aretha Franklin and the Allman Brothers and different people, Steven Tyler, that had worked there.
Right.
And this studio basically is directly out of the 50s and 60s. It still looks the same. And
wow.
So we were writing rock songs, but then all of a sudden, you know, at the end of the day, after talking about this stuff, we get inspired and start jamming on some blues songs. And then one day we just, I think we were jamming on, story is this, Mark, is that we were jamming on a song called Terraplane Blues.
Right.
An old blues song. And then it just turned into its own song. And it became the song is Take My Soul. It was just kind of, a natural progression of jamming, how you do. Sometimes you lead into another vibe or another thing. But if it wasn't for jamming on Terraplane Blues, we might not have gotten Take My Soul. And then there's a couple other songs. Back to Zero is a really kind of an interesting, different. It's almost got a grungy vibe. It started off more of a Zeppelin-y, Whitesnake kind of vibe that originally I was kind of going for with the riff. And then Marty took it and we transformed it into a Daisies vibe that's got some 90s flair to it, like mm-hmm. I say, that grunge thing a little bit.
So did the band do any cover songs on this album? I know I've known in the past the band has done some cover songs. Was there anything that...
Yeah, there's always a cover song. But that's a good thing. We like it. I mean, the way we do it, we just kind of put our stamp on it. We don't want to, I was just watching an interview where Eddie Van Halen was talking about the Diver Down album, because they had done a bunch of tours and whatnot, and they got back home and they just wanted to do one song for the studio just to keep their name out there. And they did Pretty right. Woman. And then all of a sudden the record's like, hey, we got a hit. You guys got to, do some more songs. So they ended up having to do some covers because they didn't have enough material yet.
Right.
They had just gotten off the road. They hadn't really gotten ready. But he said, we like to do it our own way. We never make it sound like the original. Whereas this particular cover is a song called Take a Long Line from a band called The Angels that not many people knew about.
Right.
So we didn't want to change it up too much, but we did put our stamp on it. And it's a really great track. And actually, we've been playing it live as well. It's really got this in-your-face kind of punky pub rock kind of sound, like The Clash or The Ramones or something.
Right.
Stuff that I would never think of, but David Lowy said, we should try this song. It's really cool. And it's got a great vibe and a great melody. And it is. So it turned out really well. So that's the only cover on the album.
Good. I'll have to check that out. So who writes the majority of the music for the album? Is it split between you and John? Or
no,
it
could be anywhere. I mean, on this, it depends on the situation. The one thing that I really loved about the Dead Daisies when I joined was that everybody was involved in everybody's ideas. So like, if I had a song idea, everybody would chip in and try and help out, like bring it to the best it could be. And then we'd put it aside and come back to it and compare the songs at the end. And then we'd just pick the songs that we liked the best. And I really liked that whole, it's like a committee, by committee almost, like, let's just make everything the best it can be and we'll see later which ones are strongest. And then when Glenn got in the band, it came to more like he and I did a bunch of songwriting, me and David did a bit of songwriting, and we would do a little bit more finished demos, and then we would kind of tear it down. But back now that John's back working with Marty, we're back to our committee thing. It's really cool, man. We can write a song. I'll tell you what, Light 'Em Up was written very quick. Mm-hmm. Of course, again, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel, but we wanted a tempo song. And Marty had a riff that was sent to him by Stevie D from Buck Cherry. And we just took that riff and jammed on it. And then it led into the entire song that we kind of musically had written in in probably 2 or 3 hours, we had the basic arrangement, and it was like really inspiring. And we kept going. But on this particular thing, I would say John and Marty did a couple songs. I brought music in on a few things, and then helped with other people's ideas. Michael Devin brought in a really cool song called My Way or the Highway. That was, and some of these songs like had all the elements that were there, but they weren't demos. They weren't finished. It was just like basic, maybe a basic riff with some drums and a scratch vocal. But Michael brought in a full-on demo that was like really well put together. And we just simplified it a little bit. And basically it's just how he brought it in. And like I said, then a couple songs we just jammed on the spot and wrote. So to answer your question, we write together. Everybody's a songwriter, and it comes down to Marty going, this group of songs is the best for, let's make this the album.
Right.
This other stuff is good. Maybe we'll swap something out if we run into a brick wall somewhere. But he ends up going, I like this group of songs right here.
So when did you join the band? What year was that?
2016, like the beginning of 2016.
The anniversary of when you joined the anniversary album was, the date was August the 5th, so just a couple days ago. The album's called Make Some Noise. What does the album mean to you, and what was your favorite song in it?
On Make Some Noise?
Yeah.
Oh, man, well, I would say, well, first of all, when I joined was January 24th was my first day in the studio. We went to Nashville. We all got together and we started writing immediately. And there's a few songs that I really love. I love the whole album. There's nothing on that album that I don't like. Always you can wish that something would be better, but there was a song that that we started working on, and I started with some basically two chord progressions that were movements together and worked. And that was going to become a song. I knew it would. And when Marty got involved, he started experimenting with melodies with John. And it was called Song and a Prayer.
Right.
But during the recording, Marty had asked me to come up with a little arpeggiated line that was going to be for the chorus, just kind of tucked in. And we didn't end up using it there, but John suggested, hey, I really like that. Why don't we make that an intro? And so that's the intro of the song, is this kind of arpeggiated guitar part. And so that was fun. It was fun to work on, because everyone, like John, came up with this idea to take this part from here and use it as an intro. It was cool. Make Some Noise, we wrote in just a couple hours. It's dead simple, but that song has gotten a lot of play with a lot of sporting teams in the U.S. And also NASCAR drive, you know, racing. So football, baseball, everyone wants to make some noise at sporting events. And that was a really simple. Originally, I was just thinking, like, I love that vibe of call and response of, you know, what Led Zeppelin used to do with like Black Dog. You'd do this vocal and then the band would answer. And I kind of got inspired by that and was thinking, kind of mixing up Black Dog with Give Peace a Chance, with John and Yoko in bed doing that thing where they're clapping. Right. And he does this kind of like rap line and and then they go back to the clapping. Well, we do a rap line similar to that, but then we go into like a riff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really love that song. It was just simple. And then Marty goes, what would you do for the chorus? I go, I don't know, B-A-G. You know, he's like, great. But let's leave the G out. So just B-A, then we answer it. And so it was just fun to put together. And then there are a few other songs. Long Way to Go, obviously, is a fun. That's kind of been the quintessential Dead Daisies track ever since I've been involved. That was a riff that David Lowie had. And me and Brian Tichy kind of, we were asked to you know, go in a room and work on whatever we wanted to, me and him. And we all split off into twos. And we picked that riff and put put an idea together, and then David came in and topped it off. That's been a really important, good song for us.
So the album, or the tour kicks off September 6th in the UK there. Do you expect to have any Canadian or US dates coming up in this year or maybe next year?
Not this year, but maybe next year. I would definitely plan on it. We love, you know, North America and Canada and South America. We need to get down to South America as well. But we were in Canada last summer a little bit. So I would say next year it'll be. And then same with the U.S. We were in the U.S. already this year, just playing a handful of shows. We've got some friends that have asked us to come play some other places in the U.S. So we'll, next time, maybe next year, we'll do just a handful of shows or whatever. But you never know. I mean, they might book a tour that's, you know, supporting somebody.
Right.
And then we could, you know, then we could do, you know, more dates in the U.S. and Canada. We'll see.
I hope so, because I haven't seen the band yet. It's live, so
yeah, man.
Something to look forward to.
Where are you?
I'm based in Toronto, so
okay.
I think maybe you guys played here a while ago, but I missed the.
Yeah, we missed you. We missed you in 20. Yeah, we last year, last summer, we missed you.
Yeah.
But we were there. We were in Toronto. We did do a Toronto show at El Macambe.
Right.
And you know, it's a world famous venue. It was very cool to play there.
It's where the Stones played and everybody else. So
yeah, I always I always think of Stevie Ray Vaughan because he had a DVD that he cut there that was
okay. Definitely
crazy amazing.
You played on Deal's Killing the Dragon album. Can you tell me about that time and anything that stuck out with you playing on that album?
Yeah, I mean, you know, joining Dio was similar to the Dead Daisies in the fact that it's really like a band. It's like a family, you know, and that everybody supports each other and helps each other out. And when I rolled up my first day recording with Dio, and we were recording in Los Angeles, and Ronnie was already at the studio, Jimmy, everybody. I drove by myself and I brought a bunch of gear. I brought a bunch of amps and guitars and stuff. And I never forget, I opened my truck in the back and I'm about ready to grab an amp. And this big dude, like 7 feet tall, goes, "Hey, don't touch that. That's me. That's for me. That's my job, dude." I'm like, "What?" He goes, "You don't touch that gear. That's my job. Now you're in Dio now, you know. Your job is to play guitar." And
I was like, cool.
And it was always like that. Like, you know, I was the guitar player and people wanted to watch out for me. And it just set up that, I never forget that moment. And it set the vibe, you know, it was like, okay, I'm the guitar player in Dio and it's cool and it's serious, you know? And so Ronnie and I, they had some tracks that they had already cut, the drums and bass. But I ended up just, putting guitars on that stuff and then writing a couple songs with Ronnie, which was great, with Ronnie and Jimmy. But when I was recording my guitars, Ronnie was basically, the two songs that I wrote with those guys, we tracked them together. Mm-hmm. And then, so there was, when we recorded the drums, I had a scratch rhythm guitar. But then for all the other stuff, I just kind of was working on guitar parts as we went. And I'd be sitting there playing a part and I'd go, "Ronnie, what are you thinking?" He would turn around and be like, "What?" He was doing crossword puzzles the entire time. So he's sitting in there and I'm working, but he's not thinking, he's not listening until I ask him, "Ronnie, what do you think?" And he'd be listening, he'd be like, "Sounds great, keep going," you know, or whatever. He might have some advice or whatever. When I was soloing, he might have said, you know, I love that part. Richie would love that part or something. And I'm like, okay, cool. But generally it was just really fun. And it was like, you know, being a part of something really, like as it was coming back up, I think during that time, that record, there was Dio wanting to get back to more of the original sound that he had, more kind of guitar. He's always been guitar. Let me say it like this. He wanted to get back towards more of the classic Dio from the 80s. So that's kind of what what I guess I brought to it, you know, a little more of the 80s style guitar playing. And then we toured and had a blast. And then we did a DVD at the end of the year called Evil or Divine in New York City on Friday the 13th. We did a DVD on Friday the 13th in New York City that was really amazing. And yeah, and basically, you know, I was grateful for that opportunity to be in Dio.
Awesome. So, and also you auditioned once for Kiss, I heard. I'm not sure what era that would have been.
That was interesting. That was during the time of, I just had come to Los Angeles from high school. I got out of high school and came to LA, and I was already, I like immediately got in a band, and we started trying to write songs, and we were doing half covers and half our own. And we were playing, literally I got in town in, I guess it was August of 1981. And then it was somewhere in the springtime of 82, we were playing at a club called Gazzari's on the Strip.
Legendary.
Yeah. And eventually word got around to Eric Carr that I was playing, and I didn't know they were looking for a guitar player. A girl said to me that her boyfriend was Eric Carr and that she would recommend me to him. And I forgot about it. I didn't think anything of it. Right. And then a couple weeks later, we were playing again at Gazzari's, and they came. She brought him, and he saw me play, and he said, "Man, I really like your guitar playing. I want you to come, you know, I want you to come meet Gene and Paul in the studio." And like,
really?
I was like, "Whoa, okay." And so I go down to the studio, meet them. I played on a couple of tracks for them on their, it was Creatures of the Night album. And sorry, I'm just plugging in power to my phone so we don't lose you. Basically, went to this, there we go. Okay, so I went to the studio, met the guys, and then I played a couple tracks on Creatures of the Night. And Gene said, "Great, you know, do you ever play major scales?" And I was like, "Major scale? Like, what's that?" Mm-hmm. And he's like, "You know, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do." I know, of course I can play that. You want some major, you want that flavor? That's kind of what I thought it was a flavor. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know the name of the scale. So I started playing, it's kind of like Michael Schenker was who I would think of when I would think of that sort of sound playing over rock, mm-hmm. heavy rock. And he goes, "Great, learn these three songs and let's jam next week. Do you think you can learn them by Monday?" And I'm like, "Yeah, no problem, you know?"
Right.
And we got together and jammed, and I'll never forget, that was my first time playing through multiple Marshall stacks where it was, you know, I had four Marshall stacks, so that's eight cabinets. And a lot of times now, you know, you see a big stack of amps and there's only like two that are on. Mm-hmm. But this was all eight cabinets, all four stacks were powered and going, and it just sounded insane. And we were rehearsing in like this airport arena. So the whole thing was, and that went well. And they invited me back to jam again. And it was just surreal because, you know, at that time, nobody had seen them without their makeup. And I kind of felt guilty about seeing mm-hmm. them like that. You know, I didn't think, I was like, "Am I going to get in trouble? Or am I
going to,
are they going to make me sign a paper? Like I could be sued if I don't know what." I was just a kid. I was just a kid. So anyway, I didn't get the gig, but they really liked my playing, and they thought I was a good kid. And I was friendly with, mostly with Paul a little bit. I've run into him here and there, and he always remembered me. And then I worked with Gene a bit here and there. He had a record company that wanted me, he had a couple of bands on his record company, and mm-hmm. I did sessions for him and them. But then I had never seen Kiss live until the Dead Daisies when I joined the band in 2016, we did some dates with Kiss, and then we've done over the years a couple, two or three Kiss cruises, you know, where they go out on the boat and it's all Kiss all the time. So that was fun.
So the album Light 'Em Up comes out September the 6th. Can you let fans know how to pre-order a copy and
yeah, basically, if you can go to thedeaddaisies.com and you can pre-order. The links are going to be there to pre-order in the North America and Canada, all over. And then on the 6th, it's going to be streaming on all platforms, obviously. So you can check it out first, but definitely if you can pick up a hard copy, because it helps the band, and it's good to have, you know.
I love the hard copies. I'm an old school guy, so I like to check them out. So.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely looking forward to the album. Thank you so much. Appreciate you coming on and talking all the stuff. Some good old history stories. I love hearing stuff like that back in the day. Yeah, so.
Hey, thank you so much, Marv. All the best, and look forward to seeing you up in Toronto. Thanks to your fans for supporting us and being there for us. We really appreciate it.
Right on. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks, brother. You too, man. Bye-bye. Bye.